hold on. I'm going to do something that I never do. Bow with me for a prayer, would you? God, I have already felt your love this morning. I have already witnessed your presence this morning. And I just pray that as we spend this last little bit of time together before we go out to be your laborers in the vineyard, that you would continue to make yourself known, to show yourself, and especially, Lord, to those who have not yet felt your presence or seen your love. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today is the first Sunday of Advent. What that means to you and me is that the altar is decorated, Christmas tree's up. Don't tell anyone, but the Christmas tree was up before Thanksgiving. Well, we had to put it up before Thanksgiving, right? If it was going to be up today. We did it last Sunday after church. We ate soup beans, and that helped us get it done quicker. So everybody wanted to get out of here before... Never mind. The decorations are on the walls. The fake flowers and the hurricane shades are in the windows. And you can tell something's a little different, right? Doesn't the church always look really bland after Christmas when we take everything down? We need to do something, we need to put something up this year when we take everything down. And I don't know what it is, but if you have any ideas, pitch them to me. We need to put something up, because January is the most depressing month of the year. Did you know that? This isn't a depressing place. So you can tell something different. There's something different. Something's going to happen. Do you know? In the Old Testament, there were these people called prophets, and these prophets spoke for God. God would come and speak to them in a variety of ways, and the church, well, at that time it was the synagogues, the Jewish people, they would say yay or nay, that we believe that you had a word from God. I hesitate to do this because I don't want to lose you for the rest of this message, But Muhammad thought he had a word from God. Muhammad thought that he had heard from God, and that he had heard, this is after Jesus and after the Old Testament and the Jewish people and after Jesus. I think it was about 600 years after Jesus, but I didn't research this. But several hundred years after Jesus, Muhammad thought he had a word from God, and he went to the Jewish people and he went to the Christians and said, "Y'all have strayed, and God spoke to me, and this is what he said." And the church and the Jewish people said, "That doesn't sound like God. We don't think that was God." And so then Muhammad was really offended, and then he basically started Islam, because he was rejected by the Jewish people and by the church. You got to be careful when you listen to someone who says they're speaking for God, right? You got to be careful. They can have you drinking the Kool-Aid. You know where that came from? Yeah, Jim Jones got a whole bunch of followers to drink poison Kool-Aid And there was this one that they were going to catch Halley's Comet. You remember that? You got to be careful. I say all the time about my sermons, I mean, there's been a lot of complaints about me, but no one's been able to say, look what it says in the Bible and look what you say. No one has come up to me and said that. You got to be careful who you listen to. And so, in the Old Testament, we had these prophets, and they were speaking on behalf of God. And sometimes, if you read the Old Testament, it would say, thus says the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you that I'm right about everything. I'm just telling you, as I read Scripture, here's how I see it. Here's what I think it says. Could I be wrong? Yes. But I do encourage you to test everyone that you listen to. If you listen to Max Lucado, go read the Bible and see if what he's saying is right. If you listen to Joel Osteen, listen to him and then go check it out in the Bible. Don't just follow blindly, right? And so in the Old Testament, we had these prophets and they would speak on behalf of God. And sometimes they said hard things. One thing that comes to mind is that there was a prophet named Nathan. And Nathan went to David, the king, and tells this story. See, Nathan said, David, I need to tell you a story. That God's telling me to tell you this story. That there was this rich man who had all kinds of lambs. And there was a poor man who had only one little lamb. This is really a story that a prophet, Nathan, told David, the king. And the man with the whole bunch of lambs, he went and stole the lamb off the one man who had just one lamb. And David's getting sucked into this story. And David gets infuriated. And David says, that guy's going to pay. He's going to restore fourfold what he stole from that poor man. And then poor Nathan, has to say to the king, David, that's you. You are the rich man with all these lambs, and Uriah was the poor man who had only one lamb, which was his wife Bathsheba, and you took her. Sometimes a prophet's job is hard. And then all of a sudden, there, with the book of Malachi, it's the end of the Old Testament. And then does anybody know how long it was before they heard from God again? 400 years. For 400 years, they didn't hear from God. Now, I want you to think about how long 400 years is. 400 years, if you think of a generation, they say a generation's 40 years. That's 10 generations. So the people who heard the prophets, they have kids, and they say to their kids, we know there's no prophets anymore, but here's what they say. And then those kids have kids, and the grandparents say to the grandkids, we know there's no prophets speaking for God anymore, but here's what the prophets say. And what's going to eventually happen? This must have all just been a hoax. It's been 400 years. Where's God? Do you understand how that could happen? Now, there were a few people the Bible tells us there were a few people who were still looking for a Savior. But there would have been the majority of the people would have been going on with their life, going, where is your God? Where is your God? Mocking the people. And then 400 years goes by, and God shows up again. In the most unexpected way. If you could pick a more unexpected way, okay, maybe in a UFO, but it was such an unexpected way for the Savior. And so what we do now is we have this time before Christmas that we'll sing Christmas songs because you all have so much of the world in you that you want to sing Christmas songs. But technically, I like Christmas songs too. I put Christmas music on yesterday when we were waiting in Baltimore for our friends to show up. And they play Christmas music the whole time when you're working on the shoeboxes. And Matt's going, "Can't get enough Christmas music, huh, Dad?" Because I put it on, because you got free XM right now. You knew that, right? You who have XM radios, you get free right now if you don't pay like us. Till December 2nd. I should have told you before. I'm sort of kidding about the Christmas music, but not really. Technically, we have Christmas, and then we celebrate Christmas after Christmas. When everybody else is putting their trees away, you know, we traditionally would take down our tree around my birthday. That's 2 weeks after Christmas. Sometimes we'd leave it up till May. February. We would quit plugging it in at the end of February. Just a year or two. So now we're in Advent. It's a time of... Here's what came to me at 9:30 church. Advent is a time of reflection, correction, and expectation. This is good. I see Diane writing it down. This is a time of reflection, correction, and expectation. Do any of you parents, do you look back and say, "Man, if I could do it over, here are places that I would have changed something"? I mean, I do that sometimes. I think about when I was coaching T-ball, and one time Christopher, I don't remember his last name, but Christopher was the worst kid on the team, but I let everybody play. I was the coach. I always said, "Hey, boys, when it comes tournament time, we'll get serious, but for right now, let's have fun." And one time, Christopher didn't touch the plate, and he got called out, and it was a big run, and I went out and threw my hat. I'd do that over. However, I learned from that. It's the only time I threw my hat. I'm not saying I became the perfect coach after that. And Advent, it's the end of the Christian year. Advent's the beginning of the Christian year. Last Sunday was the end of the Christian year. You know how the calendar year runs from January 1st till December 31st. And then Advent begins a new year for us. And so you reflect on the past year. As a Christian, what have you done right? What have you done wrong? Where might you be able to improve? Reflection, correction, and expectation. And so I want to go to our scripture now, as I'm approaching the end of the sermon. Jesus spent about 33 years on the earth. And the disciples had a lot of questions. And so he's trying to tell them of what it's going to be like at the end. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. and did not know until the flood came and took all them away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Do you know how long it took Noah from the time he got the orders to the time he finished the ark? Do you know how long it was? 120 years. If I had a candy bar, I'd throw it to you right now. If I had a candy bar, I'd probably eat it, and I probably wouldn't throw it to you, if we're being honest. 120 years. Jewish history has it that Noah even planted the trees to grow the wood, to cut down the trees, to harvest the wood, to build the ark. Jewish tradition has it that Noah grew the trees for the wood to build the ark. It took him 120 years. You ask how it can take 120 years waiting for trees to grow. And when he started the ark, everybody would have been going, "What's going on? What's going on? What's?" And after 120 years, are they paying any attention? No. I said downstairs at 9:30 that one of Satan's big weapons is time. He uses time against you. He makes you think you have all kinds of time when time is really short. And you who are my age and older, you know how time is slipping away. And so then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and don't skip ahead yet, I want to talk about this for a second. He would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Here's something that I believe the Lord gave me to tell you. The thief is already in the house. If you had known what hour, the end time, Jesus is saying at the end time that it's going to happen in the blink of an eye. It's going to happen and it's going to be over. It's like, it's not like driving through Crescent Town. It's like driving through Short Gap. You blink and it's over. Because it takes you forever to drive through Crescent Town. It's going to be sudden. But the thief is already in the house. What do I mean by that? Satan, he's everywhere. He wants to divide households. He wants to divide families. He wants you to think, there's no rush to talk to your neighbor about Jesus. You got all kinds of time. You're having a fun party life. That's good. Satan says, because you've got 50 years to get right with God, but this day is fleeting, so you really need to take advantage of it. Do you see what I'm saying? The thief is already in the house. And he comes to rob and steal and destroy. He comes to destroy marriages, to destroy finances, to have you thinking that going shopping on Thursday at Walmart and making those poor people work is such a good idea. Seriously. And I'm not saying it's because of a religious holiday or anything. I'm just saying he messes with our values. He tells us that things are okay when they're not okay. And he tells us that things are important when they're not important. You know what's important? Sending out 10 million shoeboxes. And every time someone gets a shoebox, they hear the gospel. And you know how many people hear the gospel for every shoebox? 7. They say for every kid that receives a shoebox, 7 people are touched by it. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Thanks, Sophie. Do you know why I put this on Facebook this morning? Do you know why there's evil in the world? because God's not done yet. God sent Jesus. He lived a perfect life. He made a way of escape so that you may be saved. We're living in a time of grace. And when you die or when Jesus comes back, the offer is rescinded. It's a standing offer right now. And when you die or when he comes back, the offer is withdrawn. And so I think this is sort of written to you. So what does it mean to be ready? And in the last 4 minutes, what does it mean to be ready? It means to sit in the room and pray and wait. Is that right? No. At least it doesn't mean that exclusively. It means that you serve your family. I'm not just talking about women here. Women and men. We serve our family. We serve our kids. Kids, you serve your parents more than the parents serve the kids, quite honestly. Right? But the parents serve the kids in a different way. You think, if you're a kid, you think, oh, my parents have to serve me. I tell them what to do. No, they serve you by putting clean underwear and socks in your drawer. They serve you by having food in the refrigerator. They serve you by going and fighting the crowds to buy you a Christmas present. They serve you to go fight the crowds to buy you cheese nips because they know you like that better than... No, you like Cheez-Its better. Cheez-Its are the best, right? You like cheese nips? Huh? I bet your mom knows that, right? Well, now she does. Cheese nips are the cheapest. Well, I know our boys like Cheez-Its. See, you don't know best how they're supposed to serve you. But parents know best how they're supposed to serve the kids, right? And sometimes it's through correction. So, while we're waiting, we serve others, and that's a great way of staying ready. Do you agree with that? Serving others is a great way of staying ready. If you're doing something for someone else and Jesus comes back, you're not going to care a bit that he caught you doing that. Sometimes I can think of things that I'm glad Jesus didn't come back when I was doing that. And so Advent is a time of a pause that we reflect, we begin to correct, and we expect. So let me pray. God, I thank you so much for this church and these people and for your Son Jesus Christ and for second chances and for Jubilee and for mercies that are new every morning and the fact that you'll keep knocking on our hearts, keep knocking and knocking, and I pray that the sound doesn't grow old and blend into the woodwork, but that we can still hear you knocking. I pray that you have spoken some words through me so that people will know that you are who you say you are. You will do what you say you're going to do. You always have. That you are God of second and third chances. And that you will forgive us if we only ask. So I pray for those here who know that they need some correcting, who would say, yes, I'm I'm saved by the blood of Christ, but I certainly need some correcting, and I pray that you would just move the rudder just a little bit of their proverbial ship, and let them see how that will just change the course of everything. For those who would say that they're not yours, I pray that you would just have them reflecting on the many times that you've tried to get them to accept your grace, and they never have, and that today might be the day, and that they would accept that Christ died for their sins, and that he rose from the grave to defeat death for all who would call upon him. And I pray that they would call upon him today and ask for forgiveness. And for those of us who may think we're doing pretty well, I pray that you would help us to keep seeking your will and not growing too comfortable or too proud, but that you would help us to reflect, and that you would help us also to correct. And we expect that you'll help us do that as you're constantly working on your children. So we give you thanks for this, and for this day, and for every testimony that's been shared and every song that's been sung. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.